That's Psalm 119. I think I hope that you are as blessed as I am by the way we've been doing Psalm 119, as we've had a couple of occasions to do so. We finished the last time we were on this subject at verse number 56, I believe. Anybody have a note different in their Bible? If not, we'll begin there at verse number 57, and we'll do as we've been doing. I'm going to ask each of you just take a verse and as you just read through the verse. I want you to stand to your feet, read the verse, and then tell us what that means. And then we'll comment on it perhaps, and we just go through and get as many as we can this morning. All right, verse 57. Someone please to take that verse. Just stand up and read the verse and tell us what it means. Well, now, not everybody at the same time now. Just please, one at a time. Oh, Chris, okay.
Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. And he just declared where he stands with the Lord, just reminding him of what he thinks he is in the Lord.
Okay. All right. The Lord is his portion. The only thing he really wants is the Lord. The most important thing in his life, the most important person in his life is the Lord. And when the Bible uses this word portion, it means my everything. The Lord is my portion. He's my everything. He's everything I need, and he's everything I want. And therefore, I've said I'm going to do what you say. Barbara? He's my inheritance. The same idea. Right. Okay. Psalm 58. Or verse 58. I'm sorry. Psalm 119, verse 58. Okay, Piper.
I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. That just, the second part really just speaks to me, because I know when I go by what his word says about me, or when things come up, you know, and I look at myself and don't like what things look like, and especially when I really missed him, and I just asked him to be merciful according to his word, you know, because of Jesus.
Okay. And why does David feel like he has the right to ask him that, to be merciful according to his word? Because he's done something. What did he do? With his whole heart, he is really serious about the Lord. Over in Jeremiah, God spoke through Jeremiah and said, you'll find me when? When you seek me how? With your whole heart. And David said, I have sought you with my whole heart. I've sought your favor with my whole heart. I'm really serious. Therefore, I have a reasonable expectation that you will be merciful unto me according to the word that you've spoken. All right? The next verse, 59. That's a good one. Okay, Ron?
And turn my feet unto thy testimonies. In other words, I look at myself and I abhor myself and I repent it in dust and ashes and turn to his way, because my way is filthy rags and useless.
Okay, I had a conversation with myself, really took a good look at myself and made a decision to turn myself unto the ways of the Lord. That's something that we must do, is make a decision. We have to decide. You know, you don't automatically become a Christian. You become a Christian by an act of your own will, by an act of decision. And when that's why it's so important for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that he brings conviction to us, as our brother was sharing this morning, as Chuck was saying, that conviction came on him over that slide projector and over this these bitter feelings that he'd had for this other man. And when he thought on his own ways and decided to turn his feet to the ways of the Lord, then he was able to be set free. All right, verse 60, kind of along that same line. Verse number 60, Pat.
I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Once he made his decision to follow God, he didn't delay around, dilly-dally around.
Okay.
Kept his commandments.
All right. He was in a hurry to do right, wasn't he? Don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today. Oh, I'll get right with God sooner or later. You know that old saw that, well, when I get to be an old man, when I get to be 60, 70, up in there, when I'm too old to have any fun anymore, then I'll decide to get serious with the Lord. No. First of all, there's no fun like knowing the Lord. I mean, there just isn't any, whether you're 60 or whether you're 6, or it doesn't make any difference. Don't delay. I made haste and delayed not. All right, verse 61. Steve?
The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. I think of John 10:10. Thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy from me, but Jesus has come to give me life, life, and more abundantly.
Okay. Even though the thief has come to rob me, I have not turned away from God. It hasn't caused me to become bitter. It hasn't caused me to be disappointed. I have not forgotten your law. No matter what the circumstances of this life, no matter how tragic they are, no matter whether I lose my job, my house, my everything, I still remember the word of the Lord. All right? Verse number 62. Beautiful verse. Robert?
At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. He's saying, one, that at all times he'll be willing to praise the Lord, even at the midnight hour when it's darkest, he'll still give thanks and praise the Lord because he knows that his righteous judgments will prevail.
Amen. No matter how dark it is, that David said, I'm going to rise and give praise to God because everything is coming up roses? No. Why is he going to praise the Lord? Because his word will prevail. His judgments and his word is true, it's righteous, and standing upon the word will make him an overcomer. And so no matter what the circumstances are, he's going to get up when it's dark, as Robert said, in his darkest hour, he's going to rise and praise God because of his promises, not because of his present situation or his present experience. Now, what happens when you're willing to praise God in the midst of your difficulty? What'll happen to your difficulty? It'll flee and your circumstances will change. Is that right? Now, if you wallow in your negative circumstances, what will happen? It'll get deeper, won't it? You're, that's right. When you're in the pit, it gets deeper and deeper and muddier and muddier. We remember what Paul and Silas did in Acts chapter 16 when they were in the jail at Philippi. You recall that? You remember what they did? They praised the Lord and they sang hymns. What hour of night was that? At midnight. And what happened? The gates flung open and they were set free. And a guy got saved, right? And his whole house. See, that's what comes from praise rather than from wallowing in our misery. I love that verse. Verse number 63. This is a good one too. Uh-huh, Bonnie?
I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Instead of being in the world and having fellowship with the people of the world, I have fellowship with believers of myself, of the like mind.
My friends are those also that love God and love his word. Verse 64. All right, Vera.
The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Well, he's trying to show that all over the earth, the things that the Lord has done shows of his mercy, and that he wants to learn more about the mercies that the Lord has given and to be able to appreciate it more.
Yes, yes, okay, very good. All right, let's go to verse number 65. All right, Susan?
Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word.
David saying to God, you know, God, you're all right. You're just really okay. You're faithful, and you've dealt with me exactly like you said you would. You're true to your word. It's a confession of his trust in the Lord, his being satisfied with the way God has dealt with him. Verse number 60. How unlike most people is that declaration? Don't you hear most people, they want to blame God for every unfortunate thing that happens, every difficulty and every unfortunate circumstance, every tragedy. Who gets the blame for that? You know, there isn't anything that makes me more angry than for God to get blamed for things that he's not doing. I can't tell you what that does to me. It just rises up in me and just an anger that God would be, that these things would be laid at the feet of the Lord and he hasn't done them, these tragedies. We were seated at a dinner on Friday evening, and there was a young Christian man seated right across the table from us, and he was telling us about his mother and how much she loved the Lord and what a beautiful Christian lady she was. And he said the reason she was like that was because God had taken his little sister away from her when she was a tiny little baby. And he said it two or three times. And I thought, oh my God, oh my God. But you know, when people believe like that, you can't call them a liar, but I can't tell you what rose up on the inside of me to know what the truth is. God didn't take that child away. He no more than did that than we fly like birds. But he believed it, and his wife and his mother believed it. But just hurt to know that people think those things. All right, let's have verse number 66, please. All right, Marianne.
Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. He's just asking the Lord to teach him judgment and knowledge, and he knows that all good knowledge and judgment comes from the Word.
Okay. All right. Verse number 68. I like this verse too. Verse 68. I'm sorry. Oh, 67. I'm a verse ahead. 67 then. Let's take that one. Ron?
Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. In other words, the Lord got his attention for his affliction.
Okay. All right. As long as there was no need for me to be obedient to the word of the Lord, I went my own way. And I followed the dictates of my own desires and my own flesh. And then when I was afflicted, when my trouble came down on my head like it always will, I learned some things. We're going to see that in just a moment. Verse number 68. Now let's take that one. All right, Lois?
Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. I think of that as every good and perfect gift comes from the Father.
Yes.
And he is good, and he will
be taught
his word because they are good.
Okay. You are good, he's saying. You are good. I hope you're learning how to pray as we read through this psalm. This is a way you talk to the Lord. Now, this is a man, David, whose heart was after the Lord's, who was after God's own heart. And this is the way he talked to God. Most of this is a prayer. He said, God, you're good. I like the way you are. And you do good. In other words, Lord, you don't do any bad thing. You've never done any bad thing because there's nothing bad in you. You're good and you do good. And because of that, I want you to teach me your ways. Because if you're good, your ways are good. And so teach me your ways so that I may do the same. All right? All right, verse number 69. All right, Frankie?
Said the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. I think we've had probably a real good example of that in the life of the nursery and everything, because, you know, they were lying against the nursery, but because they were willing to stand and believe God, you know, it was beautiful with their whole heart. And I know some of it because I know some of the people that they really had to stand against the Lord. And when the enemy comes against the strong, we do have with our whole heart. If we waver,
we're not going to
lose.
Okay. All right. The proud have forged a lie against me, and they will. But no matter what happens, he said, even though the proud have lied against me, I did not decline from your ways. I didn't retaliate. When they reviled me, I did not respond in like way. When you begin to take a stand for the Lord, when you decide you're going to take a stand for the Lord, you can expect affliction, because affliction and persecution comes for the word's sake. And Jesus said, for righteousness' sake. Now, why does that affliction come? The enemy comes through the proud and through circumstances to afflict you so that you will do what? Respond in like way. So that you'll respond in like way to them and repay evil for evil. And David said, that happened to me, but I didn't fall into that trap. I did not forget the precepts of God. Robert? I saw your hand. Is that
what you said? Yeah, he had a choice when the proud forced to lie against him to take up his own defense and see what he could do about it, or he could stand on the word and let the Lord be his defense. And we found out that really
was. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right, verse number 70, talking about the proud.
Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. And to me that says that what the wicked does, that they do, It's just like grease. It's just, it's like, to me, I think of a grease pit. You know, when you go to a fast food place, that's all I think of is just grease. And there's no benefit, no nourishment to it, and it doesn't have any substance to it. And there's just no validity at all to it. But the Lord's law is what is nourishment and what's substance and what we can count on.
Okay. All right. The proud have a heart on the inside that is fat and sloppy with self-will and with self-grandizement, isn't it? And it wants to gratify itself at the expense of someone else. It doesn't want to give itself. It wants to take from others. Fat like grease. Ooh. Verse number 71. All right, Larry.
It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And that says something to me, because of his job. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrected. Therefore, despise not the chastisement of the Almighty. And I think that just means that when God is chastising, take that as a blessing, because he stopped you from doing something. Show me you've done wrong. To go back to his word and find out what it is, what we need to do to correct it.
All right. Somewhere along the line, I've missed it, in other words. It's good for me that I've been afflicted because it caused me to stop and examine myself and take stock of my circumstances. Chuck, your testimony this morning is just, is a perfect, isn't it, huh? With what the Lord is teaching us out of his word. That somewhere along the line, I missed it, and it's good that these things have come against me because it caused me to stop and examine myself and to decide that I needed to learn to do the will of God, to learn the statutes of God. All right? Verse number 72. All right, Mary?
The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. God didn't say we couldn't have riches, but they are of no benefit to us unless we have him, because he has everything we need and belongs to him. And his laws are better even than gold and silver.
Amen. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Jesus said, seek ye first what? All the gold and silver you can get? The kingdom of God and what? All his righteousness. And then what'll happen? All these things shall be added unto you. The proverb says that, paraphrasing it now, that with the Lord come gold and silver, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Do you remember that verse? You know, the Lord can give riches and he can give prosperity as well. And the kind that he gives doesn't add sorrow to it like the world gives. All right? All right, let's take verse number 73 now. Who would like to take that verse and comment on it? Robert?
Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. He's saying, Lord, you're the one that made me. You made me, so you're able to give me understanding. Do that so I can learn your commandments.
Amen. Okay, well said. Verse 74. Okay, Laurie.
They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. And the people that trust in the Lord, that love the Lord, the body of Christ, when they see me, they're going to be glad, because they're going to know that I'm standing on the word, that I'm not giving up, and they're going to know that the word is working in me, because this will be evidence of it.
Amen. Amen. That affection, you see, that's very important in that verse there. The affection that we feel within the word of God is because of the love we have for God. You know, the people, let's face it, people, now even within the body of Christ, we love each other, don't we? Say amen.
Amen.
You mean that, don't you? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Within the body of Christ, we love each other, but let's face it, some you love more than others. Is that right?
Yes.
Now, we don't like to admit that, but we do. There are some brothers and some sisters that we just feel more affection towards. We feel more love towards. We feel a greater flow. Why is that? Why is that? That's right. We're feeling a love. It's God's love that's flowing to them through us. I can tell you that in my own circumstance, it used to really bother me because I felt as pastor that I need to love everybody exactly the same way. But you can't do it. You can't. It's impossible to do. Now, you can have compassion upon everybody the same way, and you can love in terms of as God does without respect of persons. Do you understand? In terms of being willing to give yourself and being willing to spend yourself on behalf of people. But in terms of that, just that affection and that love and that desire to be with, you have a desire to be with those ones who are strongest in the Word in terms, I don't mean how much they know, but how much they love God. Now, you've experienced that for yourself. How many of you have and know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And that's what this verse is all about. That person, you see, that person that loves the Lord, I mean, just as sold out to God, you feel a drawing to that person. Perhaps you don't understand what that is, but it's the love of God flowing in you to that individual because he or she is really walking in the Word of the Lord. That's why it's so powerful and so strong. All right, verse number 75. Dan?
I know, O Lord, that thy judgments were right and that thou in faithfulness have afflicted me. He's saying here to the Lord that he knows that what he does is right. And because he is right, that he's going to chastise him. And that's going, he's going to be faithful to do this because this chastisement is so important. Stop him, turn him around, and make him see the error in his way and make him do the right thing.
Okay. All right. This chastisement now has the idea of discipline behind it. Rather than punishment, it's training and discipline. It's the training of a loving Heavenly Father that will not allow a child to do that which is going to be harmful to him, but rather will hedge up his way with thorns, as we're told in Hosea about Hosea's wife, in order to bring us back into the place where we're supposed to be. All right, verse 76. Verse number 76. Okay, Bruce.
Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word and to thy servant. He's saying to the Lord, just as you're there to train and discipline me, you're there when I need comfort also.
Mm-hmm. Okay, according to your word. You have promised it in your word, and so I know that that's true. All right, verse number 77. Bonnie?
Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. To me that says that if I stray, that his tender mercy should come unto me, should come down unto me and to save me, and that I may be forgiven, that I may live, and that for his law is my delight, that I am trying my best to live in his law, and that they are my delight, and that when I do err, that his mercy...
That's the key. Very well said. That when your heart, listen to this now, people, when your heart is pure towards the Lord, when you have a sincere desire in your heart to do the will of God, let's face it, we do miss it. We do miss it. We stumble and we fall. That is not the most significant thing that's ever going to happen to you, that you're going to stumble and fall. We do that. It happens to us. But we can count on the mercy of God to forgive us and restore us because in our heart we have a desire, a sincere desire, to do the will of the Lord. Do you understand that? And it's not a willful act. I tell you, you go out and willfully sin, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Presumptuous sin is not the same as ignorant sin. You go out and do presumptuous, that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about, in my heart, I want to do the will of God. I delight in the law of God and I want to live right. But from time to time, the temptation is so strong or the ignorance is so great that I stumble and I fall. But I know, Lord, that your mercy will come unto me. And if it wasn't for your mercy, I couldn't live. I would die. And so let your tender mercies come to me that I may live. And I have a right to expect that because my heart is pure towards you. I really want to do what's right. Next verse now, 78. Joan?
Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. And what that means to me is the world's they have a standard, and they're proud of it, and they don't know the word of the Lord, and they don't care to know the word of the Lord. And I was watching a talk show the other morning, and a senator was on there, and it was Phil Donahue, and he made a statement about homosexuals, but he wouldn't support it, and he wouldn't look for equal rights for them, because he felt sorry for them and they were in sin, and he was booed and the audience began to mock him. And I felt like they dealt perversely with him without a cause. But I know that the proud will be ashamed because he was meditating in the law of the Lord. And I just praise God that when we do that, that we rise up against our enemies. We don't have to
to answer to their proudness and to their rashness and to their sinfulness. We also need to proclaim the word of the Lord.
Stand in the precepts of God. All right. Now, in order for the proud to be converted, what has to first happen to them? Well, all right, but in giving them the word, what's going to take place? They'll do what? They'll become ashamed. You see, in order for the proud to be converted, they must first recognize that what they are believing is sin, that it's wrong. They must come under the conviction of sin, and they must feel exactly like you did and like I did, shame for what we have done. And so a person, you see, who is proud today, whether they be homosexual or whether they be supporting that kind of perverted lifestyle or whatever that sin is, whether it's just a lifestyle of unrepentance, and perhaps the sin is not really as obvious as some of these that we've mentioned. In order for a person to be saved, they first need to recognize the need for a Savior. And you don't need a Savior unless you know you're lost. Is that right? You must first know you're lost. And this is in addition to a prayer here for personal deliverance could be understood to be a prayer for the proud. In other words, let them be ashamed, the ones that have dealt perversely, because unless they know their shame, they will never come to a place of repentance, and they'll never come to receive the Lord. They'll never, ever be changed, okay? Yes. And the very same things that David dealt with, people are having to deal with today, is the situation that Joan mentioned. All right, verse number 79. Verse 79. All right, Bonnie?
Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. To me, that's saying, you know, that people can look on me and know that I am in the word of the Lord, and that I love him and believe in him, and if they need any help, prayer or otherwise, if they can come to me, they can turn to me, and they know that I will be there for them.
Okay, all right. Beyond that, I think this is probably a prayer for, or a declaration that the only people that I'm going to have fellowship with are the ones that know you. I look over at verse number 63. If you look back over at that one where David said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. And here in 79, let those that fear thee turn unto me. In other words, the only friends I really want are the ones that know you and fear you, and those that know your word. They're the only people that I want to be associated with. All right, verse number 80. Ron?
Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. The Bible says a man's heart is evil from his youth. It also says, from our hearts we bring forth of our treasure, whether it be good or bad. And I believe this is a prayer to let his heart or his spirit be sound and be healed by the Lord, that he might have good treasure inside, that when he brings it forth, he would not be ashamed of it.
Okay. What does it mean to be sound? Whole? Established? Steadfast? When you say you have a sound horse, anybody in here know anything about horses? When you have a sound horse, what have you got? Well, all right. Without any infirmity, without any weakness, without anything wrong. David said, make my heart without any weakness, without any infirmity, without anything wrong in it, without any sickness in it, nothing in there except I want my heart to be completely whole, sound heart, that I might not be ashamed. No, it's a process, isn't it? Huh? Yes. And how does soundness come to pass in a person's heart? All right, by getting the bad out. How do we do that? How do we get the bad out? David said, thy have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. All right, how does a heart become sound? By receiving the word. You just keep putting this word down in your heart. But I don't understand half of what I read. Your heart does. Your heart does. Well, I pick up the Bible and it's just a bunch of mumbo jumbo. It just doesn't do me any good. It's doing your heart good. See, your heart understands it. Your head may not understand it because your head is educated and instructed in the ways of the world. And this book is 180 degrees from the world's ways. Yes, praise God is right. See, this is the truth here. The world's ways are opposite to it. But your heart is programmed. If you've been born again, if you've received Jesus of Nazareth as your Savior and made him the Lord of your life, your heart is responsive to this word. Your heart is ground crying out for this kind of seed. And so when you sit down and read it, and you read it through, and you say, this just doesn't make any sense to me. Keep reading it. Keep reading it. Put it down in your heart. Do you know what will happen? First thing you know, your mind will get renewed. You'll pick this book up on, lately I've been really understanding what I've been reading. Well, praise the Lord. The next thing you know is, I'm so hungry for God's word. I love the word of the Lord. I just enjoy reading it so much. And it'll become your favorite book. And so even though it may be difficult for you now, you don't stop reading the word. You continue to put that word down in your heart. All right, where's our next verse? Verse number 81. Yes,
When you talk about your spirit, your heart understands it. I read the word to Amy. I have a 3.5-month-old baby, and she knows the difference between, like, if I read her just a nursery rhyme or something, and when I read her out of the Bible, and when I pray in tongues, too, over her, she gets this expression on her face. I don't care how hungry she is. She'll stop eating, and she'll put her eyebrows together, and she'll look at me and study my face, and then all of a sudden, she'll just begin to laugh. The first time she ever laughed out loud is when I was praying in the Spirit. And I've experimented every day to see if she responds to the word the same way and something else, just to see if it was an accident or not, because people say, well, what kind of understanding does a little baby have? Their spirit understands what you're doing. And when you read that word to them, it's going into their heart. It is.
Yes.
I can't explain it. I just know it.
Yes.
And so it's true with your spirit, too.
Yes.
If it holds true for a little baby, it's going to hold true for you.
Amen. Amen. Someone was saying to me this week, I don't remember who it was. Someone said this week, I've been reading my Bible and I've been praying, but I've been reading the Bible. I've been sitting in Sunday school. I've been sitting in worship service, and I've been getting all this word in me, and I didn't realize what I had in me until this past couple of weeks. I went through a crisis, a difficult time, and I did not understand. I didn't realize how strong I was inside. I didn't realize what I had in there. So you don't know how strong you are. How many of you know how much weight you could lift? If I ask you, how much weight could you lift over your head? Like this. How much weight could you lift up? How many of you could tell me the exact number of pounds you could lift? Nobody. So you can't tell me that because you're not lifting weights. Do you want to know how you're going to find out how much weight you can lift? Get a hold of some. And start to lift it. And you put a little more on and you lift it and you lift. It's the same way if I were to ask you, how much trouble do you think you could stand up under? You don't know. You don't know. If I said, how much faith do you have inside you? How much spiritual power is there? You don't know. You'd give me the same blank expression. Because you don't know. You don't know until your faith is tried. You don't know until it's tested. And then you know how much you have in there. And so the Word of God produces that spiritual power. It produces that ability in you, even though you don't understand everything that you read. Now, I don't understand why that works that way, but I know that it does, just as Joan is mentioning here. It will work on you. I can tell you this, that if you're a radio listener, if you will listen to WYNX instead of Z93, you will have more spiritual power. You'll have more true joy. If you fill your heart with Z93, I'm not against Z93, but it's a number that I know because I've heard. And you know what I mean when I say Z93, okay? If you fill your heart with Z93, then that's what you're going to have in you when trouble hits. And you're going down. So you don't have the power. But if you'll listen, in other words, if you'll fill your spirit with the Word of God, that's what you'll have available to you when you hit affliction.
Another station is WSB. That thing, when the men are coming home from work in the afternoon, if they put more that in them than they do the Word, that's what's going to come out. I've seen it in several men's lives that they're leaning on that more than they are the Word.
Yeah. I don't listen to those stations at all, but the other day, I was out working in the yard, and it was Saturday, I guess a week ago Saturday, and I had the truck out in the yard, and I was listening to the ball scores. The football scores is late in the day, and I had on WSB. And they run the scores, and then all of a sudden I noticed the music. that was coming. And it was this, what is this loud noise that's coming out of the cab of the truck? And that, well, the program, the score program is over, and then I found that they had the music and the scores mixed together. And just listening, I don't even know what the words were, but just listening to the music, just, I don't know, it just rattled me, kind of just did something to me that made me uncomfortable. It just made me feel like, I was in a strange land, I guess. You know what I'm talking about? Just, it's like I was in a strange place. And I wanted to hear the scores. I wanted to hear what, if anybody doesn't know this, you should know this, Lois and I, my wife Lois, this is mine. Lois and I attended the University of Pittsburgh, which is the number one team in the nation. And so you should know that you're among elite company. As a matter of fact, that's where she and I met, was at the University of Pittsburgh. In those days, they weren't number one in the country. But enough of that. Yeah. Watch what you put in your spirit. If you'll put in your spirit the Word of God, it will be sensitive to the things of the world, and it is like an antenna. Will just go up on the inside. Say, whoop! Wait a minute. That one doesn't jive. Those vibes are wrong. You don't even have to hear the words, but you know that what's coming is not right. All right. I think we're just going to close right there, stop right there. We're at, where did we finish? Verse 80. Okay, 80. All right, 80. We'll try to remember that so that we can pick that up again the next time. All right, let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed.